Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. About $2.5 billion in goods and services cross the Canada-US border each day. That's nearly $1 trillion per year. Canada supports American manufacturing. About 70% of Canadian goods exported by manufacturers to the United States are used in the production of other goods. Those goods are then sold around the world. Northumberland manufacturers contribute to this cross-border trade. In this interview, Darla Price, Executive Director of the Northumberland Manufacturers Association, will explain how the American tariffs are hitting local industries. She will discuss the impact on their businesses, their workers, and the local economy. While there is plenty to be worried about, she will also provide some optimism where you might not expect it. I'm so pleased to welcome Darla Price, Executive Director of the Northumberland Manufacturers Association. Glad to have you on Consider This Northumberland.
Thank you so much, Robert. Really excited to be here this afternoon.
I want to start with something really fundamental before we get into the issues, and that is, what makes a business a manufacturer?
Under our terms, I guess, for an association, really, I think the most basic answer is taking a raw material and turning it into something functional. It's that production of, like I said, production of taking that raw material, molding, designing, and producing a really great product at the end.
So what then is the Northumberland Manufacturers Association? Can you tell us what that is?
Sure. So we're actually celebrating 20 years this year. So we like to say we're one of the strongest and mightiest, even though we're smaller, one of the best business associations across the province. So we run similar to a chamber of commerce. We're there to support business and community, primarily and specifically for manufacturing. So Northumberland's got quite a manufacturing base. And about 20 years ago, we had a couple of our leaders come together, and they're always in Toronto. They're going there to learn, to train, conferences, so on and so forth. And the idea was kind of born, why don't we do something more local, more grassroots? So we are a 1.5 staff association located at Venture 13, our innovation center out of Cobourg. And we provide anything from advocacy to health and safety training, to working with our youth in regards to careers in manufacturing, and of course, the ability to network. So I can proudly say our manufacturers within Northumberland County have the ability to connect with each other, to support the industry as a whole. We don't see each other as competitors, but more of as leaders, supporters of making the community that much better.
Who are some of your members?
So we actually have approximately 52 manufacturers from across Northumberland County. And then we've also got about 47 what we call associate members. So those are individuals or businesses that are part of our supply chain. So the trades companies, the property managers, the banks, of course, our funding and support that way. So we've got anything from the two-man shop that's building small batches or producing small batches to 250 employees manufacturing some of the cleanest energy throughout the country. So it's really interesting in Northumberland. Our industries have a really great focus on our food, plastics, energy, a lot of metal fabrication, packaging, some automotive as well. So it's really interesting. We got a wide range of manufacturers within the community.
Can you share some names of some of the companies that are our members?
Oh my goodness. Graphic Packaging, Cameco Fuels, Weir Esco in Port Hope, Trade Tech, Blomer Chocolate, located in Campbellford, Mermill, also in Campbellford, the Candy Factory, so Canada Candy, you can't forget those guys, of course. Baxter's Bakery. Oh my goodness, there's quite a few.
Now, does every manufacturer in Northumberland belong to the association? Is it a one for one, or are there some that maybe don't belong?
There are some that don't belong. I like to say we've saturated the market as much as we can, but throughout the county, there are some that are not members, but are still linked in, so we're still able to connect with them. When it comes to challenges such as the tariffs we have, our ability to connect to all manufacturers, it spreads outside the membership. This isn't just a member value type service or product we provide. We're in it all together. This is bigger than just us and grassroots.
You've already described as part of our conversation some of the things that you do, but what are your strategic goals? What do you ultimately want to aim towards as an organization?
So our organization, the industry is continuously moving up, down, sideways. So our organization is built on that. So we put together a 1-year business plan. There's no big strategic goals 5 years from now. We want to be very fluid, which has worked very well for us in the past 5 years or so as we've hit COVID and now the tariffs. You think in January, you know exactly what you're going to do for the year. And yeah, a lot of that has changed so far. So for us, it's about just serving the members. That is kind of the strategic goal. It is about what their needs are for the year. So, for example, during COVID, we were very HR oriented. It was getting our HR teams together in roundtable discussions once a month, sharing policies, procedures. It was focused on getting supply, testing and vaccination in the workplace. It kind of steered us away from our traditional, oh, let's have our golf tournament and let's network and have some fun that way. So we're always looking to do something different. We've hosted transit pilots for workforce. We're part of the workforce housing organization and trying to support those goals. So as the manufacturers do, we change all the time, and being able to pivot and be quick is kind of that's the strategic goals, I would say.
Now, for listeners that might not be familiar with this, it's a technical term. You talked about a transit project. What is that?
So 3 years ago, we launched with funding from the Eastern Ontario Economic Commission. They provide us with some funding to do a transit pilot. And that was to, so within Northumberland, as all of the listeners probably know, there is not a lot of transit options in between communities. And we have those that live in Port Hope but work in Cobourg. And within Northumberland, our transit options are limited. Our taxis don't run past 7 p.m. at night from Monday to Thursday. We have a group of people, employees, that work overnight. So finding them transportation, showing kind of our different levels of government that there is a need and that it can be done. So we had a carpooling type system where employees could carpool, at midnight, onto the job and back home again at, that 6, 7 o'clock in the morning. From there, we were able to, by the time we had finished the pilot, we had over 320 people on transit moving across the county, and very inexpensive for the individual as well. We know we don't pay, $40 an hour. So transit options have to be relatable to a certain income. From there, next thing you know, we heard from Metrolinx. And Metrolinx and Minister David Pacini said, you know what? I think it's time to put a GO bus in from Cobourg and Port Hope into the Durham region. So not only could us as Northumberland residents be able to travel now to Durham region, catch the GO train, but we could also recruit individuals and those that work in Durham region to come work out in Northumberland because we are close proximity in communities. So GO Bus was up and running within the year, and then the county had taken over the project and continued to have transit in between the community. So not a lot of manufacturers have the ability to take part in making their community better, whether it's transit or, like I said, with our youth. We give awards every year to graduating students at each of the five high schools, for those kids that are going into manufacturing and trades. So yeah, we're always looking to do, something out of the box, not just, let's get together for drinks after work and networking, where it's about making an impact and doing something different.
I have one more question. How many people are employed in the manufacturing sector in Northumberland?
So I was trying to look up the numbers exactly. It's hard because you do have those that you just don't know of, those small welding shops and those types of things. So the best numbers we could come up with was about 3,500, and that's direct. So that's in the plant every day doing their shift, producing the best we can. If you look at indirectly as well, so those the supply chain. So CCS Industrials, they provide anything from health and safety vests and equipment to fasteners and O-rings and all that wonderful stuff. When you take into consideration the feeder companies, you could probably double it. So we're probably looking, I would comfortably say, anywhere between 6,000 and 7,000 employees. Which makes up, if you look at the population across the county, that's about 7 to 10% of the population.
I'd like to talk about the recent activity around tariffs. How did you learn about the tariffs and the potential impact upon your members?
I'm trying to think. I can't remember when I first found out. I'm not sure if the idea was floating or you watch the news, of course. So President Trump is elected and he's talked about it and he's whispered here and there. And then I think when it finally kind of hit home was when the announcement was made. So sitting at my mother's house, I had left my husband and kids home for the weekend, and I went to my mom's to have a girly weekend. I remember sitting on the couch in the news, and Trudeau's going to reply, and I don't know. I definitely kind of like when COVID hit and when 9/11 happened. It's kind of that time where you do remember where you're at when it kind of hits home, where it's like, okay. Oh, Monday's going to be crazy. Was kind of it. Oh man, what are we walking into on Monday? Yeah.
Can you tell us how many manufacturers export or import from or to the United States that are located in Northumberland?
So I don't have specific numbers. It's still, I would almost say, from the feedback we've received, it's about 50-50. So it's, I keep telling everybody, it's kind of a mixed bag. We've got manufacturers that 90% of their product is going to the US. So it's going to hurt and hurt real bad. But then we've got those that are actually going to do better. So you've got a company that also has plants down in the US, where those US plants are feeding the Canadian economy. So, for example, packaging. The US makes more packaging in the US to ship to Canada than we do down to the US. So now we've got some packaging plants as the US companies are reaching out to them in Cobourg saying, hey, how much capacity do you got? Because we want to push manufacturing up into Canada. So on one side, it is positive. It's a change. It's scary. We have a lot of work to do. And on the other side, yes, we do have some that are going to be directly impacted immediately. And then it's going to take time. So everybody that we've spoken to has said, short term, we're okay. We can hold on. Short term, we're good. If this lasts a year, that's kind of a different story.
So if you were to have a scale on 1 to 10, how significant is the impact of these tariffs on local manufacturers? Scale of 1 to 10.
7 or 8. Yeah, I really do. Because it's at some point you think you might be safe, right? So, for example, the packaging company, while they're asked to produce more, now we've got to look at we need a more bigger workforce. We need more resources and raw material coming in. He needs to retool. So, while it's positive, it's also going to be a challenge. So, how it's going to impact, I think everybody is probably going to feel it some way or another, because then we've also got the reciprocal tariffs. So I seem to be fine as a manufacturer. I only sell to Canadian and European clients, but man, all my raw materials coming up from the US and it's being tariffed by Canada. So gosh, if you're not, you're kind of hit from one side, hit from the other. We have manufacturers that now have both that are getting tariffed in and out. So it's going to impact. It is how hard it's going to be. There's still so many unknowns. We're really working diligently in the background to make things, yeah, to overcome the challenges.
I want to talk about that in just a little bit, but first of all, I'd like to find out what was the reaction from your board and your members when the threats started to come through, when they started to reach out to you and talk to each other. What were they saying to each other?
I think the biggest thing they asked for was resources. It was who do we connect to? Where do I find more information? Where do I send my broker to? Because even the brokers still were very, okay, how is this going to work? We had finance teams running across the province, going to their different plants into Quebec. Yeah, it was because it was going to happen. We thought so quickly, there was this bit of a, I don't want to say panic, but how do we move forward and who do we reach out to? So because we're a local association, my ability to or our ability to connect to those in the bigger advocacy world. So the Canadian Manufacturers and Exporters Association, along with the Excellence in Manufacturing Consortium, two very large organizations that really speak on behalf of our industry and being able to connect with them. So for, oh my gosh, since this all started, we have been diligently sharing information. I attended a webinar with a custom brokerage organization, and they were sharing information on, okay, what to look for, what the codes mean, because our manufacturers are looking for ways to, can we bypass certain codes? Can we reclassify certain items? If I ship less at once, will that help financially? There was over 650 manufacturers from across Canada on that webinar, on that call. So sharing of information, that was kind of the message that we were getting. Darla, find out who we need to reach out to. And then, of course, with our local MP, Philip Lawrence, being able to share, he had reached out and asked about the reciprocal tariffs. So we immediately started surveying and gathering information within the first 2 weeks to find out, can we help Canada be strategic in the reciprocal tariffs? So if you know we've got 100 manufacturers across Canada that are importing a particular metal part, whatever, can we take that off the reciprocal tariff list? So I can give kudos to those, above us, the feds. They are really diligently looking at how we're going to come out of this unscathed or don't hurt as much, I guess. So, yeah, lots of information sharing and.
You've alluded to it a couple of times in our conversation, but not directly, and that is the supply chain. But before we get talking about it, maybe for listeners who might not know what that means, what is a supply chain and how does that work for a manufacturer?
The supply chain, I guess you could kind of think of it as any inputs the company brings in. It can be anything from your office paper supply to health and safety vests to raw material. So that's steels and aluminums, plastics. It is the design. So you have engineers who help design the actual product that you make or different variations of it. It's the maintenance crew. They're looking for anything possible to fix, repair, enhance. It could be cybersecurity, those organizations that protect our manufacturers. And not just your traditional cyber, my computer's protected and my IP and whatnot, but our machines. Our machines are very much connected to the internet, the computer, multiple screens, and they need to be protected as well. So really it's, I guess in the traditional sense, people think of it as the raw materials, all the pieces, the glue that I need, the containers, the packaging, all the different pieces. But it's kind of a little larger than that too, when you talk about everything that's kind of brought in to make the factory work.
So how hard or easy is it to change suppliers for a manufacturer? We hear about manufacturers having to look for new suppliers because of all these tariffs. How hard or easy is it to change suppliers?
It's very difficult. To be very honest. So the more I looked into this and the more I spoke with my members about what they do and what those raw materials and things that they import and export out, you don't realize how specialized they are. So for example, I am a metal fabricator. I bring in steel. I then turn it into, a window or the steel part of a frame of a window. So what I do is I take that, I cut out my pieces. I then have to send it to a stamping plant. So that stamping plant just happens to be in northern New York. It is a 2-hour drive across the border. Stamps it, sends it back to me. I put it in my whole window assembly. And out it goes. Why doesn't Canada have a stamping plant? Well, because, or why doesn't Ontario or Cobourg? Well, because it's 2 hours over the border. There's no need for us to duplicate. It's ridiculous to think that, that we're just able to pick up and find, these raw materials and products that we need when our supply chain and our businesses within the US and Canada are so integral to each other. They are so connected. It is unbelievable to find out how the businesses all connect to each other. And we had the Canadian Manufacturers and Exporters economist in Coburg on Thursday. He came out. We had about 30 manufacturers there, kind of doing an economic outlook for us in our industry. And I couldn't believe that the actual, when you think about what do we export to the US or what does the US import from us, 30% is final product. So, for example, we send full assembled product, manufactured washing machine down to the United States to sell at a distributor or a retailer down there. So that's a full final product. 70% of what we export to the US is actually part of their manufacturing processes. It's their inputs. We build little tiny tubing that goes in medical products down in the US. So these tariffs, we were all just shaking our head. We couldn't believe. I don't, they must realize. You would think the Trump administration realizes that they are actually taxing business inputs. Their final product in the US will now cost more because they've had to buy the little tubing from us at a higher price. So it's really quite shocking to see how integrated the supply chain is. There's a reason why we don't duplicate and do things the same. There's very specialized things that we do here. There's a reason why companies invested in Canada for certain products and certain types of manufacturing.
Do you see an end result of this that Canadian manufacturers start to produce more of these final products rather than going back and forth?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it feels all doom and gloom, but there is a very positive side to this. And I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but it's lit some fire under our arse because we are unproductive as a country. The stats state our productivity is very low. Our investment is very low. We do depend on the US, and it's now time to make change. We have manufacturers who are currently completely retooling because they know they can supply the whole Canadian market with this particular product. So they already have head office vice presidents coming up traveling to come see the plant to see how they can retool. We're going to see a change. This is a good thing. This is a way for us to build some of our own supply chains. It's also a way for us to diversify. Why aren't we doing more business with Europe or South, is it Western Asia, or down in South America? Why haven't we been doing these things? And now we're finding out there's lots of opportunity. And now it's going to take some time. I hate to take words from Trump's mouth, but it's going to hurt a little bit before it gets better. And that's okay to a certain extent, of course. But there is a positive side. I really think we're going to see change. We'll hopefully see a lot of our red tape be taken back so that we can grow a little faster. The interprovincial trade and bringing down those borders and barriers. I kind of feel it's a bit refreshing that it's kind of given us that oomph that we needed. And yeah, it's time. And we've been here, we've done this. Canada's been through trade issues and challenges, and they just want to tariff everything we've got going out. But we've made it through and been strong, and I think we'll come out the same way.
When you've been talking about support in our conversation, I hear that they are national organizations, provincial organizations. What kind of supports are you finding that are available in Northumberland County?
So throughout the county, our chambers of commerce, our economic development departments in each of the towns are all very aware, and it's not just manufacturing, but our retail and our tourism, because that's a whole other, industries, different industries to speak of. Right now, and we haven't officially launched it yet, but I know I'm allowed to talk about it. The county has created kind of a group, and we are called the Prosper in Northumberland. And there is an operating group that is made up of people like myself, the Chambers of Commerce, our economic development teams, and local businesses. And we have kind of split ourselves into two. And we have a committee that's currently running for business analytics. So right now we need to gather as much information as we can from our business community. What is your supply chain? What are you bringing in? Is there funding that is needed? So for example, you'll have a retailer that may carry an American product, just purchase new inventory, she's on the shelf and it's not going to sell because it's American. So is there funding and supports for those that can go out $5,000 grant or loan that can go purchase Canadian product to replace that American product to continue to move forward? So the business side, the analytics side, I sit on that group. It is all about connecting our business community together. Can we create an online forum where our business community can talk to each other? Hey, I'm looking for, does anybody need? And then on the other side, there is the consumer side. So it's all about shopping local. And it's not, it's shop Canadian, but more shop local. Because we do have retailers and organizations that do carry American product, which is okay, because it's about supporting local. I'd rather you buy from the shop down the street than off of Amazon, right? So the Chambers of Commerce, so we have this really great idea for a shop local type campaign to support. So there are things going on in the background. It does take time, but we've actually worked quite quickly and are ready with surveys and be able to kind of hit the market. So Chambers of Commerce are your best resources. There's pages on their websites with different links. That's probably what I'd say locally is your best bet.
I wonder to what extent this is sufficient for manufacturers, though. Is this initiative enough to help your members?
No. With the members, with manufacturing, it's a completely different beast. It really is. Now, we do have manufacturers in Northumberland that sell directly to consumer. So Roscoe Windows and Doors, absolutely. We need to support him because not only does he manufacture for the US market, but he also manufactures for local consumer that can come into the showroom and buy. So I guess it all depends on where they fit, but that's where we come in. So we have been very diligent as well of sharing information that we have with our partners in Peterborough. So there is also the Kawartha Manufacturing Association. Quinty also has a manufacturing association as well. So we've been sharing our information with them, along with the Clarington Board of Trade. So we've got really great manufacturers out in that Clarington area. So we've been kind of, for those communities that don't have somebody like us, I'm not sure what they're doing. It must be very difficult because our world is very different than the retail world, the downtowns, the tourism side. They're now trying to ramp up because Canadians are going to stay home this summer. So how many more bedrooms can we fill at the Airbnb? How many campsites? It's going to be really interesting for that industry too.
How about the response of politicians? You've mentioned already our MP. But what about the MPP, the municipal politicians? Are they stepping up in your mind?
Yes. Yes. Well, I feel so bad, Minister David Pacini. It's election time. So I know he's diligently working in the background, working with Mr. Ford, making sure the voice is very strong. David is one of our biggest advocates when it comes to Queen's Park in our industry here. We really can't find a better leader to support. But as tariffs are launched, we went into a provincial election. You know, for David to be tooting the horn and walking with manufacturers, it was a difficult, it wasn't very easy. He had a different role at that point. But with us being able to speak with the Canadian manufacturers and exporters and the consortium, they are able to relay the information if we needed locally, kind of up the ranks. MP Philip Lawrence has been fantastic. We've been speaking with him a couple of times. He's got a full-time staffer that's doing nothing but working on tariffs, reciprocal tariffs, and feeding any information he can out to us. So I know our mayors, they've had a whole bunch of meetings with the county, with all the economic development, the farming, so the organization, oh my goodness, the food center located in Colburn. I apologize, the name of it has slipped my mind.
The Agri-Food Innovation Center?
Yeah, exactly, the Agri-Food Center. So they've been able to share information as well, because a lot of our farmers are machinery and parts, and a lot of that is from the USA. So, so yes, you know what? I think the response is what it needs to be so far. Maybe we probably should communicate it a bit more, because we've got our head down and everybody's trying to work on solutions and support. But yeah, the our local, provincial, and federal governments have been really supportive.
What are next steps for the association?
Well, as they say, what is it, April 3rd? Is it April 3rd? We're calling it Doomsday, because that's when the extension of the first set of tariffs is to come due. It's also, I believe, when the Trump administration is announcing all of the tariffs across the world with all of their trade partners. So at this point, it's kind of a sit and wait, which makes it even worse if he had just done it. You know, there's many times I've heard, I wish the tariffs were just in place. Just put them in place. Let us move forward. The unknown is what's very difficult. And when you've got a workforce of 50 to 100 people that are nervous for their jobs, that, you know, it's morale, it's, you know, it's challenging. But, you know, partners are stepping up. So we've got our financial groups coming through, webinars and sessions on how to manage your cash flow, how to manage your accounts receivable, how to relook at your contracts, because contracts now have to be changed. What if something like this happens again? So in your contract, it should probably state, if a tariff, you know, trade continues, you know, what kind of, you know, language needs to be put in contracts and whatnot. So, like I said, there's so many unknowns. It's a wait and see. We do have, it was pretty funny, from the chief economist from CME. He had said the last quarter for Canada was absolutely fantastic. And that's because we are overproducing and shipping as much as we possibly can down to our clients or our other plants before tariffs kick in. So they do feel we may hit a bit of a recession. So when you have two quarters of kind of that negative GDP, that usually means recession. So they are saying the next two quarters, we could be in recession mode if all tariffs come through. If that's it, we're 25% across the board, we will see probably a bit of a slump in recession. But because our first quarter is so strong and we're overproducing, it's going to help carry us through for the next couple of quarters. So they keep saying in a year it'll be done. We keep hearing, President Trump is just poking and prodding us and putting our feet to the fire a little bit. So in that the agreement, it's not NAFTA, it's the Mexican United States Canadian Trade Agreement. When it comes due in 2026, he'll have a better footing to stand on. So we're not out of the woods yet. We do think it's going to be a rocky next year or so, and we really hope our people will pay attention when they shop, when they buy things, and when they buy services. And it's and for our federal government to start making change.
Darla Price, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today.
My pleasure, Robert. Thank you so much. And to everybody listening, stay positive. We've been there, we've done that, and we'll be okay moving forward.
That was Darla Price, Executive Director of the Northumberland Manufacturers Association. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.